We want to have prosperity that we can define how we want to. We can style it how we want to. We can cut it and sew it however we want to. And that will still qualify as prosperity. And we'll still get somebody to pat us on the back and give us accolades. But in the 21st century, costume prosperity is just like costume jewelry. Even if somebody thinks it looks cute, it's still worthless. And that's just the bottom line. It's still worthless. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for you now. The number is 646-787-1933. 646-787-1933 is your personal access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence. The only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Please join us. And for those of you out there earlier today who I did tell you that if you want to speak to me directly, you can go ahead and call up and ask all your questions. You see, I don't have a lot of respect or any respect for people who ask all their questions over Facebook, because what they try to do there is they try to hide, they try to lie, they try to conceal themselves. But when they call in, you can find out very quickly if this person has any type of credibility or not. And that is what weeds out the phony from the factual. Because they know that if I call up, I better actually know what I'm talking about. So for anybody today who didn't like any of the articles or posts that I put up, there's the telephone number. Other people are people on the internet that you can talk about. I am the only one who openly solicits people to be the person that you talk to from the internet. Number is 646-787-1933. Join us. Let's go ahead and see if we can take a phone call here. Caller from 510, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, Jason Black, is Danny from California again.
What's on your mind, brother?
All right, Jason Black, I sent you a message on Facebook on the possibility of making a website where a lot of the conscious Black people can find a form where I know this is the form where you can get it from. This is it. But I want to find Black businessmen just like me where we can build something and talk so we can make something out of something.
Are you a member of the Intelligent Black Society group?
Yes.
That's the only place you have. You tell me. Okay, Danny, you tell me now. You tell me. Show me another place on the internet that does what we... Show me a place on or off the internet, anywhere on Earth, that does what we do here. Tell me.
Nowhere. There's nowhere except here.
You see, I had to create this place. Me and Professor Black Truth had to build this place because it wasn't there. Brother, if you call up Tom Joyner, he's just going to drop your call. He's not going to speak to you. If you called up Michael Bazin, if it doesn't involve Mimi Faust or some other coonery like that, Michael's not going to talk to you. You go down the list of radio and television personalities. Who is it who you consistently can call in, and every time you speak to them, entrepreneurship is on the table? Who else can you say that about on a national level? Brother, if it's not here, tell me, where is it? I want to know, because you see, I saved myself a bunch of time. We as Black folk, and I mentioned this last night, we're too splintered on things, man. We see one Black person who is building something, and we don't like, or at least we don't like the fact that they're getting all the attention for doing it. So I want to build the same thing because I want people to see me. And what happens is we never become united around anything. Even in situations where there are things that you disagree with people on, you have to understand that power is something that you have to build and aggregate, especially when you're a bunch of people who don't have any individual power of your own. You have to start aggregating. And what happens is we have situations where, and here, you know, this is a situation here where it's something that people can actually believe in because we are consistent about that. Nobody else is consistent. If they were, I would be with them. I would not be doing the Black Channel if there was somebody else out there doing what the Black Channel does. That would be a waste of time. Black Enterprise does not do what we do. They do a lot of good, don't get me wrong, but they don't do what we do. They are not an open, active, 24-hour-a-day resource, and they don't allow you to call in and speak to them and provide your own personal input or ask your own questions. They don't do that. Now, if they did, I'd be with them. But they don't. Nobody does. That's the problem. There's nobody out there doing this. So if you can show them to me, show them to me so I can spend all this damn money. I mean, it would be a lot better for me to say, you know what? I'm going to make 7 a.m., but we're going to do this in conjunction with these other folks over there because they got a bigger operation going on. Let me help lend my strength to their cause. That's what I'd be doing. I would be doing that if there were someone else who was doing the same thing that we do that with. So as it stands right now, brother, this is it. Everybody's talking about where are the Black builders and entrepreneurs. Brother, this is it. This is all you got. If there was somebody else out there, show them to me. Because understand, there are people out there who are doing a bunch of talking. There are other videos and there are other people with blog talk programs. But, brother, they don't talk about these things with the mastery and the authority and in-depth like we do. They don't point you to resources. Simone's a real estate agent. I had her on here for half an hour a couple of weeks ago. When was the last time you had anybody who did that? And the reason that other people didn't need to call up and talk to her was because I answered all questions. You all been searching and scouting the internet for years on information about buying real estate. We told you you need to know in 30 minutes. Folks, years doing that. I put up a post yesterday in Intelligent Black Society talking about getting your car dealer's license. The reason why I put that up was because of the documentary about BMF that I saw, Black Mafia Family and Big Meech. Now, he's doing 30 years for dealing cocaine and crack because he couldn't stop doing it. Now, if Meech had been slinging cars or slinging TVs or doing just about anything else other than slinging drugs, where would Meech be today? Where would he be? And what I'm saying is the principle is the same, brother. Whether it's cars, homes, or dope, it's the same principle. These economic principles don't go away. But when you have low standards, you search for low-class ways of doing things. There's nobody out there that you can call up. If you can, show them to me. Call them up and get them in simple English. I want to get started in real estate. Tell me how. And then go compare it to the broadcast I did with Simone. I challenge anybody to find a place that's explained it more masterfully than we did here. Show them to me. If you can, I want to join them. So, brother, my answer to you and anybody else talking about, we want to know where the building's going on. We want a place where they aggregate. But this is the place. This is the only place. I put out a call yesterday, a couple of days ago, asking that if you are I did this again now because I've done this before. If you're a real estate agent, financial advisor, or computer programmer, I want to hear from you. Nobody responded to that post except a couple of people by private message, and most of them were asking, who wants to know?
Oh. That's what I don't want to hear.
Brother, there ain't nothing built for you. There is nothing built like I told the young man yesterday on the broadcast. Brother, ain't nobody built nothing for you. Nobody has built anything for you, Danny. The previous generation has built nothing. If we don't build it right now, today, it ain't getting built. Because them Negroes sold us out. The Tom Joyner, Barack Obama generation sold us out. There is nothing that they've built that's waiting for us. They are going to white folk begging for their daily bread because they don't have nothing and they didn't build nothing. Not even for themselves, they didn't build anything. Tom Joyner drops dead tomorrow, and tell me what happens to the Fly Jocks radio program. Tell me what happens to it. Who inherits it, Danny? Who inherits that?
Probably his family.
Think again. Who inherits the Tom Joyner morning show if Tom Joyner drops dead tonight? Who inherits that?
No, it just
who is going to be answering? Who is going to be answering that radio and turning on those microphones at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning if Tom Joyner drops dead tonight? Who's going to be doing that, brother? Who?
Nobody.
That's my point. Now, let me ask you a different question. That was the Tom Joyner morning show. Dick Clark had American Bandstand and Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve and Top 40. When Dick Clark left that, who took over?
I'm not familiar with that program.
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest took over. So you see, Dick Clark and his folk are still getting paid off of Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Only now Ryan Seacrest is hosting it. Dick Clark is dead. But what Dick Clark built is still there. Do you see the difference now?
Yep.
So Ryan Seacrest is making plenty of money, but Dick Clark's people are still making money off of what Ryan Seacrest is upholding. And if Ryan Seacrest drops dead tomorrow, what will happen?
Someone else from the white superior dominant society will take over.
Well, Dick Clark's family will make that choice. But what I'm saying is that the power, wealth, and influence has stayed right there. Why? Because they actually built something. Tom Joyner never built anything. He is a well-paid employee. And there, remember what I have always told you all. The definition of wealth is intergenerational. And that is why it does not qualify as power, wealth, and influence if you do not own it, do not control it, and most importantly, in this case, cannot pass it down. If you can't pass it down, there is no difference between what you got and a job. Because you can't take your job with you either. Tom Joyner has nothing in place, no plans in place, nothing in place, and no infrastructure in place with which to pass down the Tom Joyner morning show. He drops dead, and it's just that. Just like Arsenio. There's nothing in place for Arsenio to pass down what he had or has or used to have either. That's the difference. So, brother, if you want to keep looking, you go right ahead. A lot of folk out there spinning their wheels. A lot of people have had to come back here apologetic. And the reason is because, brother, it's just like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. You can leave the safe haven where Walker's plane crashed, but, brother, there ain't nothing else out there for you. There is nothing else out there for you. With the exception of what Tariq is doing, there's nobody seriously talking about these things. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody is talking about these things in a concrete, serious way. You call up their broadcast, they'll be talking to you for 5 seconds before they get into Hotep Afrocentric with Black Woman is God. We just need to revert to our inner spiritualism. As soon as you tell them, how can I pay the rent? They're either going to direct you towards your nearest white person or direct you towards your nearest church. But they are not going to give you concrete step-by-step instructions on what you can do for yourself. If they could, brother, I'd be talking to them. Oh, wait a minute. I did 7 a.m. Never mind.
I mean, the reason why I'm very strongly on this subject because I feel like I'm the only pro-black person in my family. because no one in my family really talks about, like, Nat Turner or Marcus Garvey or any of these influential people that I'm starting to get into. Like even, like, me growing up, no one's even told me about Claude Anderson. Well, when I heard at least three of his lectures on YouTube, I'm thinking, where has this man been all my life? I'm 24. I've never heard of this man before.
Okay, your parents did hear about him.
Would it, Jason Black, would
that's
it
what
matter
you need
if my
to
parents...
Understand. Your parents, brother, your parents knew about Dr. Claude Anderson the same way that they knew about Malcolm X. Please get that through y'all's heads, all y'all 20-somethings. Your parents knew about Dr. Anderson, just like they knew about Malcolm X. Powernomics was a bestseller. Dr. Anderson was all on TV and everything with Powernomics when it first came out, brother. Powernomics was a bestseller. So was Black Labor, White Wealth. They were bestsellers. How did these books become bestsellers and your parents knew about them and yet didn't anything? For the same reason that your parents knew about Malcolm X and didn't act on him. Malcolm X was having hell out of black folk back then. Why? Most Negroes were scared and looking for a way to bow to white folk. Take a look at Malcolm X's speeches. Malcolm X was saying the same thing 50 years ago that I'm saying today, brother. Same thing. No changes. Marcus Garvey was saying it 30 years before Malcolm. Here we are a century later with the exact same things having to be stated. It is not because these people did not know, brother. It was because they didn't give a damn about your future. Do yourself a favor, Danny. How long have you been listening to me?
For about at least like 3 months now.
Okay, do yourself a favor, young man. How old are you?
24.
24 years old. Do yourself 24. A favor, okay, Danny?
Yeah.
I want you to conduct a little experiment on your own. Don't take my word for it. Your parents are worthless and useless, and I don't have to meet them to tell you that. Sacrilege! Damn, y'all. Your parents are worthless and useless, and I will explain to you why. Do this experiment, Danny. I already know what you're going to find, but do this experiment. Go to your mom and your dad, and what I want you to do is ask them, Mom, Dad, you got any pictures of you back in the 70s or early 80s when you were my age? Ask them to show you some photographs or some videos of them when they were your age. Find out what they were doing at 24, and I guarantee you it won't be nothing similar to what you're talking to do today. They knew about this stuff but didn't do it. Ask them about Malcolm X and then ask them for proof. Don't just take their word for it. Ask them about the Panthers. If they try to tell you if they were rolling with the Panthers or even were friends with them or even agreed with them, ask for proof that you can see. They won't be able to produce any because Negroes were running from Malcolm and the Panthers. And I know because I talked to Panthers. They were running from them back then. They didn't have any support. Once they were dead and they saw that we of the next generation took up their cause, all of a sudden, they were the most popular people in the world, and everybody was a Panther. Oh, I was a Panther when I was a kid. Yeah, everybody was one after the Panthers were disbanded. But when Philadelphia Police Department, the Oakland Police Department, and the L.A. Police Department were out there busting heads, wasn't nobody a Panther back then. Today, you got Panthers all over the damn place. Your parents will be the same. Ask them about their clothes, by the way. Ask your mom, especially. I guarantee you she won't be able to stop running her damn trap about how cute she was and how sexy she was and how all the men were falling at her damn feet. I guarantee you she will not be able to stop going on about it. And then ask her, well, hell, if you had all this cooperation from all these males, why the hell ain't you got nothing?
Okay, Jason Black, here's the thing, though. Well, my parents come from Ghana, and they didn't come here until, like, 1978, so I'm not
okay,
sure
take a look
if...
up the history of Ghana.
Okay.
Brother, you think that's going to make you safe? Negroes try that one all the time. Oh, they're not from America. I didn't ask you where they were from, son. Did you notice that that was missing?
Yeah.
Did you notice that I did not ask you where your parents were from? That's not accidental. It doesn't matter. You take a look at the condition of Ghana today, and you can see what your parents were doing 30 years ago. I want you to just go and get some confirmation so you can stop looking for these people to change. When they were your age, they were sitting down and doing nothing and letting white supremacy gang rape them, and they haven't changed, Danny. They haven't changed. They just hope that you're stupid enough and naive to believe whatever falls out of their mouths and that you will give them rewards and respect that they have not earned. Because they hate you, their children, just that much. That they see you as a resource to be vampirized and used and exploited, just like what was done to them. They have now removed the gang raping from themselves to you. And I'm using the terms I mean to use. Please understand that. But don't believe me. Don't believe me. Get some confirmation. Try to prove me wrong. I'm deliberately telling you. Brother, don't believe a word I say. I want you, when you get off this phone, call up your folks and deliberately try to prove me wrong. Try it. And let me know how that goes.
No, no problem. And then, okay, this is in black. Okay, I've been watching this guy on YouTube named David Carell, and he had one video about him talking about how MLK isn't the person that people perceive him to be, where there's hidden things that he did with the government that ended in his death or something like that. Where, do you believe in that, or?
Does it matter at this point? Brother, beware Negroes who talk about the past and never give you any concrete step-by-step instructions of what we need to do today. I would advise you to be more scrutinizing people. I am tired of talking about the past ad nauseum. And that is why I have deliberately made this a place where we don't really touch on that very much. We talk about the past long enough to put things in context, and then we immediately get back to the main primary topic of discussion. Now, what are we going to do today? So my point to you, brother, would be, does it really matter at this point? MLK is gone. Why? We can't look for direction from him. Take the parts of his life that benefit you. The rest, leave it where it is. But you got problems you need to deal with today. You can't drive this car looking in the rearview mirror. We got to deal with where we're at. So whoever you're listening to on YouTube and whatnot, check and see how many videos they have to give you step-by-step instructions talking about where we're at. And if they can't give you that, change channel. If they can't give you that, don't just change channels, get the black channel.
The only person I follow is you and Tariq, mostly the whole time.
Well, if anybody else starts building, let me know. I'll join up with them. I'll join up with them.
No doubt.
I got a lot of respect for what Tariq does, simply because the man, he said what he was going to do, got out there and did it, and then just kept doing it. Now he's, I mean, whether he wants to be or not, he's a national figure now. He's been on national television a couple of times here just about Hidden Colors. He's a national figure that he wants to be, and that is a testament to dedication. Do we have to agree with on everything? No, we do not. We only have to agree on one thing. Do you believe that we as Africans must attain power, wealth, and influence? If you believe that, and if you believe that it is defined by the standards that have been laid out by the elders, the gods, and the prophets, what we own, what we control, and what we're passing down, if you believe in power, wealth, and influence on those terms, let's roll. Everybody else, get back over there on the plantation. Your Zimmerman is coming. That's the only thing we need to look at. A lot of black folk just like being listened to, brother. They just a lot, especially black males, they just like to be listened to. They don't actually have anything to say. They're like a bunch of old men sitting on the porch wanting to wag their finger, but not wagging their finger because it's dispensing information. They're wagging their finger because they want to be paid attention to. Do you notice that old white men, old Jewish men, old Asian men, old Arab men, did you notice that they don't sit around just having a bunch of people come around so that they can tell old war stories. Did you notice that?
I do.
You got to fight to get time with somebody like Silverstein, somebody like Donald Trump, somebody like Phil Knight. You got to fight to get time with them, brother. You can't just call. They don't just make trips to colleges giving out speeches. They don't do that. You have to earn and qualify for their time. You got to make a major effort. Bill Cosby, you can get that Negro to speak for a few $1,000s. He can't. As a matter of fact, in some places, they've gotten to speak free because that's as much as he's worth. He just wants somebody to listen to him in his old age because nobody does. All the white folk he thought he was going to sell us out to, they disposed of him. So today, he's just looking for some naive Negroes who will listen to anything that falls out his mouth, even though what he's saying is worthless.
I got one of those in my family.
Who just want to be listened to. That don't mean nothing. You want me to listen to you? Show me what you've accomplished. You got to earn the right to get my attention.
Wise words. Man. That statement that you made sounds like one of my uncles in my family right now.
It's probably all your uncles. And your aunts, too. Probably all of them.
Yeah, I would say that's true, because none of them is really talking pro-black around me.
Well, they never have. Why would the leopard change his spots today? Brother, they were like that when they were 20. You find out if a person is black first or black-minded by the time they're 14 or 15, brother. If they are not on this train by 14 or 15, forget about it. That's real talk. If they're not on this train by 14 or 15, it is over. Forget it. Forget it.
So what about family? You just disown them? And that's it? And just move on with
them. Disown nothing, brother. You have to understand, the family you were born with is not the most important thing. The family you choose is. I don't care if it's your mom, your dad, your baby sister. If they are not about black empowerment, you leave them where they are. Because today, black empowerment is not an ideology or a way of life. It is survival. It is a matter of survival. And if they're not on board with survival, at that point, it should be a very easy choice for you to make.
Very true. And that's my plan. So I guess now I'll just stay more focused on the black conscious people on your Facebook.
Brother, when I say at the beginning of the broadcast that you found the home of the haven and the stronghold of intelligent black thought, brother, I meant you found the haven. This is it, brother. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you can help us build something. You are wanted here, and you are valued here. You are valued because your accomplishments are what we gauge. Not by how nice you speak to me, not about how many accolades you throw at me. That doesn't mean anything. Why? Because I don't have an ego to inflate or offend. I will judge you on your accomplishments or lack thereof. So you're in the right place. You want to be here. I'll let you have the last word.
There's not much to say, but black first as always.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let's see if we can take the phone call here. Caller from 832, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yes, black first. This is Bartholomew calling from Houston.
And what's on your mind, brother?
Speaking of power, wealth, and influence, I came across an article, Business Insider. GrowPro turned Nick Woman's whole family into millionaires. And the article goes on to say, newly minted billionaire Nicholas Woman has generously shared GrowPro's success with his whole family. With GrowPro's big IPO on Thursday, they all became millionaires. Although he worked it hard for his success, it's not a rags-to-riches story. He grew up in Silicon Valley, and his father was an investment banker who invested and helped him raise funds for GrowPro along the way. He and his then girlfriend, now wife, bootstrapped the money he needed to build a prototype, and his mom also kicked it an initial $35,000 loan. Both of his sisters went to work for the company too. They've all been paid back droves. As Thursday's closing, the price of $31.34 is first day of trading. This is how they all made out, according to documents filed on the SEC. Sister Pella Woman owns a total of 562,433 shares worth $17.6 million. She also sold 88,000 shares, likely at the share price set Wednesday night of $24, that will give her $2.1 million in cash. She worked for GrowPro since 2011, the company says. His mom, Concepcion Fearman, owns 285,000 shares worth over $8.9 million. She sold 15,000 shares, gaining $360,000 cash if she sold at $24. Ditto for his stepfather, Erwin Fetterman. So that's nearly $17.9 million in net worth for both of them, plus another perhaps $720,000 in cash. His sister, Andrea Moody, who has worked at GrowPro since 2009, owns 972,000 shares, worth nearly $30.5 million. She sold 108,000 shares with the IPO, $24. That adds up to almost $2.6 million cash. His dad, Dean Woman, cashed out millions from GrowPro back in 2011 when he sold $6.8 million worth of stocks to investors. He didn't sell more as part of the IPO, so he still owns nearly 7.25 million shares, one of the largest individual shareholders with a 6% stake that's worth $227.4 million at the close of business Thursday. So what I'm saying, that the article I just read is, it goes back to power, wealth, and influence, and also goes back, you know, 7 a.m., the documentary, we had Clark Anderson, when he mentioned that 87% inheritance, that question is, does that relate to that article I just read, that 87% inheritance that they pass on from generation to generation?
Yeah, I mean, the wealth that you have that is locked into your family, that's locked into institutions, that's not for grabs. The money, that $227 million, that's not up for grabs. He's created new capital, but it's not up for grabs. It is safely in his family unless he just gives it away. But it's not in a form that makes it up for grabs. Real estate is being sold. That's up for grabs. GoPro, that's not up for grabs. Professor Truth, is that right?
Absolutely. Where do you think his mother got the 30-some-odd thousand dollars to invest? She didn't just pull that out of a hat. Show me a black family where that could happen. Show me a black family where that could happen. I'd like to see one, especially in Detroit.
Zero. All over. I don't see the 87 inheritance at all. Just pass on absolutely nothing. Negro trinkets, I guess. They want to quote unquote pass on.
And it's been this messed up way for a damn long time. the last caller, you know, he made a lot of sense, but then he had that knee-jerk reaction when Jason said, you know, this is in your family, and the guy said, well, we come from Ghana. Like, come on, man. Really? I say, it's all over the world. You go to Jamaica, you go to Bermuda, you go to Brazil. Sorry, but black folks are trying to get the culture out of partying. Exactly. It's all over. And you can't keep having these knee-jerk reactions of, well, not my parents, or, well, I'm not from the United States. We're all in the same boat, because unfortunately black people world over decided we got free, then it's time to get partying. That's what happened in Africa. Yeah, that's why the revolutions of the 20th century burned out and fizzled out. You had the revolutions all over the place, including Ghana. And here we are, 35 to 40 years after the revolution, where is your uninterrupted black progress? It ain't there. Some people say, well, the old life came back. What do you mean it came back? It never went anywhere. Because black people, we got to start killing some of our sacred cows. We got to start turning them into hamburger. We got to start killing some of our darlings, because we're holding on to these, what to us are necessary illusions. We know that our parents were back at the, were out there partying and booty shaking and getting funky back in the day, and their kids are getting crunked and turned up today. We got to stop sitting here trying to make great patriarchs and matriarchs out of a bunch of pimps and hoes. And if our parents want respect, they need to earn that respect. But you earned that respect decades ago. You don't get it at the last minute because you happen to be close to the grave and you want your kids to think well of you. That doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way.
And, you know, that is so true because, you know, when I'm starting up, you know, my website, I show my grandfather. He came out that generation of World War II, I believe. I showed him. Did you think I'd get any support? He didn't say, grandson, you know, do you need any funds or do you, you know. He just looked like, well, that's good. That's great. That's
well,
it.
Does he even have any funds to contribute?
He has funds. He has the funds for this, the SSI veterans. But ask me, I don't know. He's selfish. I just put it like that, selfish. Very
selfish.
So in other
words, he made sure that his retirement was taken care of.
Taken care of.
Didn't give a damn about the kids or grandkids, but he took care of himself, and he wants your respect. You should never call that nigga so long as you live.
Oh, trust me, no more. After that, that was it. That was it. That goes with uncles and everybody else. I tell people, and I just tell people, they ask me, you know, do you hang out? What do you do on the weekend? You know, coworkers. You know, because, you know, plantation action, it happens. You know, this same kind of plantation, it ain't changed, but they asked me, what did you do on the weekend? I said, well, what I do on the weekend is read and take care of my business. Oh. So when I leave, I tell them, when I leave that plantation, you know, here come the Negro coons laughing, ha, ha, ha. I say, I don't see nothing funny.
There is nothing funny. Poverty. Poverty is only funny to people who got food in their bellies and money in pockets. To everybody else, there ain't nothing to laugh about. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, I'd like to thank you again, Jason, on the inside info on the help. So that's what we got each other for, brother. So Black First to Truth and you two and B1 Brigade, Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Let me take another call here. Caller from 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Professor Black. This is Gwendolyn from Fort Meade, Maryland.
What's on your mind, Gwen?
Oh, yes. Just listening again. And some of the things, I guess it's hard for me to say, because I think that I did get a lot of great attributes from my parents, from both of my black parents. And until I started listening to you, I never questioned a lot of the the things, you know, and I really had a perspective of, you know, my parents' work, they did this and that, which they did, you know, but, you know, I need to pay for school and I need to do this, or you go to the military or you get married, you know, if you're a woman, you know, you find a man or you support yourself, I guess, and it's probably a little easier for women, maybe having the option to get married, but my brothers really had to, you know, I have one brother still at home, and he's an adult. He's a young adult, but he's over 18, and I have a brother who's moved out, but he lives with roommates, and he has a pretty decent job, and the other one is still in school, but it's just kind of like I see my parents, and now I've been kind of listening to you for almost a year now, and I just have a whole different position because my parents make a lot of money, and they have worked for it, but it's kind of like, you know, it's not that anybody wants anything free, but, you know, I watch, you know, some TV, or I talk to my Middle Eastern friends, or especially Middle Eastern friends, or anybody, really. But I see it strongly announced in Middle Eastern culture that, you know, there's certain things that your family is expected to give you. And if you don't do that, then that reflects on your parents. Like, oh, how can your parents be living here, and but you're living, you know, over here, you know, or you're, you know. And so it's just kind of, I've just kind of been thinking about it lately. And I know my parents work for everything, but it's like, are you going to, you know, it's kind of like, well, you have your kids and you get married and you just work from the bottom up because we had to. And even though we have all these nice things now, you still, it's like they want you to kind of suffer almost. It's like they want you to experience the same thing that they.
Let's explain a few things here, okay? Remember what I said before about costume prosperity. You said that they have nice things. Tell us about some of these nice things, Gwen.
Okay, the biggest one would probably be their, you know, nicest $750,000 home in a very nice neighborhood with several, you know, cars and elaborate entertainment systems, just very
okay,
nice.
Okay, that was what I thought you were going to say there. Now, Professor Truth, out of she just said her parents have a lot of nice things. Now, what did you just hear from all that?
What I just heard is that Mom and Dad have invested in toys for themselves. And I also hear that they have a good house. That's all I heard. That's it.
That your parents have invested. Your parents have got a bunch of. You said they have a lot of nice things. What you really mean is they have a lot of consumer goods.
Mm-hmm.
They got a car. Please tell me. You own it, and you control it, and you can pass it down, but does your car constitute power, wealth, and influence? I'm asking Gwen.
Does it constitute it? Maybe does it represent it, or no, I don't know what I'd be able to do with it.
Does the car that you drive constitute power, wealth, and influence?
No.
Why not?
I don't think because that it gives not, you any of those things.
Because it's not an asset, and it's not an asset because it does not generate income or revenue. So you see, those are the components that have to be put together. If something, you may be earning money at something, but if you don't own it, control it, and pass it down, it doesn't constitute power, wealth, and influence. And if you own it, control it, and pass it down, and it doesn't generate income or revenue, it isn't wealth either. So your parents just have a lot of nice consumer goods.
Mm-hmm.
What assets do they own? Other than their house and a car, what revenue-generating assets do they own?
My mother is just getting off with her own business. I don't think it's generating – well, I'm pretty sure it hasn't. She's only put money into it at this point. Generate money, just saving.
You said she's starting up her own business. Doing what exactly?
Programming.
Program.
Yes.
You mean like computer programming?
yes, contracting, and she's looking for contracts right now. That's the phase she's in.
Your parents' financial position is not very stable. It's not as good as you're making it out to be. Computer programming is what somebody does when they're first starting out to try to acquire something. At this point, if she had any money in the bank, she wouldn't be going back to school and learning computer programming at her advanced age so she can get out here and compete with 21-year-olds and 22-year-olds. You don't do that when you got money in the bank. When you got money in the bank, you find things to invest your money in. She's not trying to invest money. She's trying to invest knowledge, which means she doesn't have any money, which means their situation is not as good as your maybe. I'm not going to say you're trying to make it out to something. It's not. I'm going to say it's not as good as you think it is or as you may be leading yourself to believe it is. It's not as good as you believe. They are underwater with that house. They bought this house and all these cars, and now they're trying to figure out how to make some money so they can afford them because they actually can't afford them. Take from somebody who's been there, kid. I had a big house with cars all over the front yard till the day I lost it, and nobody knew anything was wrong. Nobody. Because I wouldn't let them. And I spent big until the day I couldn't spend it anymore. I stopped checking my bank statements. I've told you all this before. I stopped checking them. I didn't even open them to when I first got them. Then when I started feeling really bad about it and realized when I saw that first time I looked in there and we was down in double digits, I just didn't open my bank statements anymore. That's right. I did the most dangerous thing that a person in trouble can do. I did nothing. Forget asking for help or forget trying to do something that's detrimental. I sat there and did nothing. And guess what? That's what most people in debt do. They stop answering the phone and they stop opening their mail because they owe everyone they see and they see everyone they owe. And I'm telling you that your parents got a bunch of costume prosperity. That was meant to impress you and other people when it's Thanksgiving time and whatnot. And everybody can come over to their big house and they can feel like big shots. As soon as y'all leave, the damn mortgages still due. But they felt it's like a drug for black folk. We get high off attention. Attention isn't just like money for black folk. It's like a drug. It's like a narcotic. Somebody validating us. Oh, that's better than crack, crank, speed, and meth rolled into one. We cannot get enough of that euphoria. And we will destroy our lives trying to get it. And we routinely do. So I'm telling you that your parents have done that. They're not offering you no money, Gwen, because they don't have it. It's all sitting there in that house. It's sitting in them TVs. It's sitting in those cars. A three-quarter of a million dollar house. What's the property tax percentage where you live? What's the millage?
Property tax where they're at. I could probably look that up real quick, but I'm not sure what their property taxes are in their county.
Okay. Well, let's just say that their property taxes, what state are they in?
Virginia.
Okay. Let's just say property tax is 5%.
Okay.
How's that? 5%.
Okay.
Let's just say it's 5%. Let's just go there. Let's try that. Now, even at 5%, you do understand that that's over 30, don't you?
Over 30? What do you mean over 30 what?
Okay. If it's a seven, if the house is actually valued at $750,000, 10% of that would be
$75,000. Okay. Okay.
$30,000.
Okay.
And half of that would be over 30, and it's over $35,000.
Okay.
Now, that's if the property taxes are just 5%.
Okay.
Yeah, you see, they ain't telling you that now, are they? Especially if they're in a neighborhood where it's that good, if they're in a county where it's that good, where the houses can cost that much, 5% would not be unreasonable. Mm-hmm. You see, they had enough money to get in there. Do they have enough money to stay? And they're not telling you all this. They're just telling you everything is fine. And the property tax bill, now understand, Gwen, even if the property taxes are only 2.5%, that's still $15,000, even if it's only 2.5%. Even if we cut that 5% in half, they are still running $16,000-$17,000 a year just in property taxes. Didn't get to your city taxes or your federal taxes, just property taxes. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes.
Now, do you think that your parents make enough money that they can comfortably pay $35,000, $36,000 a year in property taxes? How much does that break down to? How much does that break down to a month that they have to withhold from their income just so they can be prepared to pay that tax bill at the end of the year? How much does that mean, Gwen?
Oh, goodness. About almost maybe 2,700 or something.
Over 3,000.
Over 3,000.
Yeah. Now, you do understand that that's what that, so that means that your parents need to be making somewhere in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $10,000 a year. I mean, a month.
Oh yeah. Well, they're my mother makes that alone, and
apparently not.
She makes.
Apparently not, because she's trying to start her own business.
Well, she's not, you know, happy with the work that where she is, and she, you know, they've always kind of talked about that.
So she's trying to start over. She made all these jobs and stuff like that based on the income from her job. I find, unless your mother's a rock star, I find it difficult to believe that she's making $8,000 or $10,000 a month. Ma'am, that would come out to
she's making a lot more than that.
$2,400 a week.
She's been making a lot more than that. She makes a lot of money.
Okay, even
and
if that's
so does my
true
father.
That even if that's true that it were, she obviously has no cash reserves, as based upon your testimony and what she's having to do now. She's basically starting over and competing with 20-year-olds. That's not something 50, 60-year-old
mm-hmm.
does. Not when your situation is comfortable. That's not what you do. I'm telling you that you're blowing smoke up your own nose now. You're blowing out your own nose. You ain't seen their income stubs. You don't know what they make. You just know what she's telling you. You don't know. Stop it. We went over this before. You don't know. And judging by their behavior, clearly judging by their behavior, the situation ain't that sweet. Why isn't she investing money in a business, Gwen? Like Bartholomew just got off the phone talking about GoPro. That boy's mother had money. Why? Because we know because she invested her money in a business. She didn't say, can I come be the damn secretary? She invested her money because she had money to invest. Your mother is not, if your mama really had it like that, why isn't she just opening a McDonald's, or better yet, opening a company where she could hire people to computer program for her? Why isn't she doing that?
Well, that's what she's doing.
No, she's not.
The second, what you, yeah, she's
you said that she's
hiring
doing,
people to.
You said that she's
well,
doing programs.
Well, I'm sorry. Story's wrapped up on Gwen.
You can't talk your way out.
No, she is a programmer, and what she is trying to do, you know, is hire people to work with and for her.
Now your story has changed up, Gwen.
It's not changing.
Let me just say,
Jason, I'm not a computer person at all. I have a hard time even speaking about it. But I know that.
That's not a matter of you understanding that when I mentioned that before. Now you're trying to talk your way out. Gwen, you can't save your feelings on this. Your mama ain't got it.
I called to tell you that my parents were doing the wrong thing, and I agree with you, but for
I'm
you to tell
you to
me that they not
why.
How much money they're making is not...
I'm telling you to understand why they don't have it, Gwen. They don't have it. If they did, she wouldn't be trying to do what she's trying to do right now.
Okay.
She would not be trying to do that. They're saying that mess for your benefit. Baby, they're saying that. And furthermore, if your mom was making that kind of cash, she wouldn't be wasting it. So she wouldn't be spending it so frivolously either. A person who is smart with their money does not go off and stockpile consumer goods. They stockpile assets. And when I asked you what assets they have, your answer was nothing. You've already told us how she spends her money. So don't try to come up now and try to act like, oh, she's really raking the dough and she really does well for herself. Your mama's a fool with her money, as evidenced by the fact that you cannot name any current assets that she has other than her cars.
Jason, I called here to talk to you about the topic I called here to talk about, not for all the extra stuff. So, you know, that's...
You're repeating yourself.
That's just going to have to be the end of it then. It's not – all of that extra stuff is not
– You're repeating
it's
yourself.
It's not necessary. And,
you
know.
Do understand
I,
you are
oh
repeating
God.
Yourself.
So
do
how
you
much
understand?
Do my parents make then? How much do
listen,
they make?
You,
I know
listen,
how much they make.
Listen very carefully. I will tell you exactly how much they make. Listen to me very carefully, Gwen. Not enough. Because their daughter, because their daughter is on my phone, telling people about what her parents will not do for her. That's how we.
Yeah, all the money they have, and they're not, and they, and I think
yeah,
they should do
for
more.
A woman who
I
makes,
agree with you.
For a woman who makes $8,000 or $10,000 a week, according to Gwendolyn, $8,000 or $10,000 a week. Which would translate to $40,000 a month.
No, not a week. No one said a week. No one said that a week.
Okay, because I said $2,000 a week. You said they make way much more than that. Gwen, your lies are catching up with you. Stop it now.
There's no difference between $2,000 and $10,000 a week. There's no middle ground. They make a lot more than $2,000 a week. My parents make more than $2,000. My mother alone makes more than
how much
than
they make
that.
In a month? How much they make in a month?
Both of them together, and my mother's making, but I don't know the whole tax situation, but together they're making almost $20,000 a month.
Okay, $20,000 a month, so that's $250,000 a year.
Yeah, about $240,000.
Okay, and they're making $250,000 a year. But they don't have any money left over for their daughter, and she's trying to tell us about how they're spending their money and what they have, and they have no assets either, by the way. They have no revenue-generating assets either, by the way. None.
Well, that's what my mother's trying to do. That's what I believe that she's trying to do is
I'm telling you that she's not going to make it. That's what I'm telling you. The math don't add up. How old's your mom?
Yeah. She's 54.
54 years old and starting over at 54.
Yeah.
She is going to try to go out into the world of computer programming and slug it out with young Asian. Forget the whites. The Asians run the yard now. And you mean to tell me that your mama is going to go out there and try to compete with 19 and 20 and 21-year-old Indians, 21-year-old Japanese, 17-year-old Koreans? She's going to go out there and try to compete with Activision and Microsoft. She's going to go out there and go try to compete with them. That's basically what you just sat here and told us. So your mom is going to get out there and going to try to compete with Apple, a black female who's never done this before, at the tender young age of 54, who only makes, herself only makes $100,000 a year, and yet she's going to go try to sling elbows with Microsoft and Apple and apps developers in the iStore and Google Play. That's what you're telling us, Gwen? And not only that, but she's going to try
well,
to hire other
people. Well, she didn't quit her job yet.
Okay, but your mother, who only makes $100,000 a year, is going to be able to pay the salaries of computer programmers, Gwen?
No, she makes well over $100,000 a year. But I thought that you get loans and things to pay your employees,
Gwen,
and you get contracts and things. I'm not
wow. Thinking. Gwen, stop it. You get a loan to pay your employees. Did you really just say that? This is why people don't like talking about females, because when they run out of truth, they just start making it up as they go along and freestyle.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just saying,
you know how many times I've been paid based on loan money from people in their businesses, or money they take out on loans when
they
start their businesses?
And tell me how long they stayed in business operating like that.
Well, the place I just came from is still in business.
Not very long.
I don't know if that's something you do at
you
the
don't
beginning.
Pay employees off loans. You don't take out loans to pay your employees. If you're taking out loans to pay employees, your business is bankrupt. You take out loans to buy more money-making assets. Employees are your biggest expense. You take out loans for business investments, not for employee payroll. If you're having to borrow money from a bank to pay your payroll, that means your business is not making any money. The money to pay your employees should be coming from your business. And you already stated before that, well, me and my mom and dad together make $250,000. Even if we slice that down the middle, that's $120,000 a piece between the two of them. And you just said she makes more than that. So your dad don't make nothing, but your mom makes a bunch of money. If that's what you're saying now?
My dad makes good money. He doesn't make nearly as much as my mother, but he makes
sure
very good money.
Okay, well, you just said she makes way more. So if she's making $200,
yeah,
he's making $40. If you call that good money,
somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. Then you just said that she makes way more than that $100,000. You just said that. Now
yeah,
you're trying
to
see that.
I'm not. What are you,
how much is
that's
way
not
more?
What's going on?
How much is way
my
more?
My mother what? Makes. My mother makes almost $160,000.
Okay, you call that way more than $120,000?
Well, you said $100,000.
So, okay,
yeah,
$160,000 is way more, because in my world, a way more is double. $60,000.
Yeah,
more.
I call $60,000 is a lot more.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? That's perfectly fine. Your mom, how much do computer programmers get paid a year?
I'm not sure a number. She's a programmer.
Your mom makes $160,000 a year. So how much you figure that a comparable computer programmer with her skill set is going to make?
Around the same or almost.
Okay,
know,
so let's see. If your mama hires three computer programmers at $100,000 a year, how much of a loan is your mom going to have to take out just to pay those three guys?
I guess at least $300,000.
Okay, now how many people is your mom hiring? Because we know she's hiring more than just three.
Well, she said the other day that she is going to start out with just a few people. That's what
okay,
she was
a few
saying
would
to
be,
me.
A few would be four.
I was thinking she was meaning three or four. That's what I was thinking she
okay.
was meaning.
Yeah, yeah, we want to ease. Now that we're dealing with concrete numbers, everybody, I don't guess my way through this. When we got to deal with concrete numbers, yeah, people got to ease back what they said, because all of a sudden they realize when it's time to start paying bills, the math ain't going to add up. $1 million looks like a lot of money until you start paying people. Once you start paying people, now it takes on a different significance. Now, if your mom goes and she takes out a loan, how much of that loan is going to have to go in taxes? Yeah, we didn't think that over now, did we? Because even if your mama does get a business loan, you do understand that that's counted as income, don't you? Because I just got $100,000 through Indiegogo, and the first thing that they sent me was a W-9.
Mm-hmm,
but you see, these were contributions. Oh, these were donations. Oh, what the IRS said, we don't care. That is income. Is it going in your pockets? Yes, it is. Are you going to be spending it? Yes, I am. It's income. Yeah, you can't bluff your way through this. So, if your mama takes out a loan for $500,000, how much of that is going to have to go to taxes?
Jason, I don't know how much of it. I didn't say she was going to take out a loan. I don't know what
you already
going to
said.
Do, how
you just said that you just said that she was.
That's not what I said. I didn't say that. I said people do that. People take out loans.
Is your mom
going to
do that? Okay, if your mom takes out a loan,
I don't know.
If Gwen, it still doesn't add up, because even if your mom does take out a loan, there's not going to be enough money to pay no employees and pay the IRS and pay her business expenses to get set up. It's not. She's going to have to take out a loan in the neighborhood of $2 million just to get started. And I'm telling you that based on an income of $160,000 with no assets other than that house, what you're saying don't make sense. I'm telling you that even if your mother attempts to do what you're saying that she's trying to do, even the way that you're trying to say it, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. She is lying to somebody. And I'm saying that for your sake, you better start assuming that you're the person she's lying to. You better start there. Start assuming that. So that way you stop sitting up thinking to yourself that they got a bunch of money and that they're just being stingy. They've been stupid, and now it's going to cost them. Yes, you need to have no regard for your parents, but you need to understand what the problem was. The problem was not that they did not make enough money. The problem was they blew it all on nigger trinkets. And now she is trying to save the Titanic. I'm telling you that she's blown a hole in her financial situation. Your mother's got $700. Now, everybody here, because Gwen didn't think about this, so everybody listen up for a moment. Mom and dad got a $750,000 house. That's a $750,000 house. That just sounds so big when you think about it. Now, how long have they had that house? I'm going to show y'all something now. How long have they had that house?
I was 16, 12, about almost 13 years.
Okay, 13 years ago. So that means they got the house back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they got the house back in 2001. They got a 30-year note on that house. Your parents had an adjustable rate mortgage.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you hope they don't. They got an adjustable rate mortgage. There's no way that they could have gotten it without it.
No, well, they have a my mother is a vet, or she's retired, and so.
She's a retired.
I believe that was a big help. She's a vet, but I meant to say she's retired military. Yes.
Okay.
Both my parents are veterans. She retired, so they have an income with also military income as well. My mother, I mean.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if you like one, I'll
see. My parents have done well.
I'm going to reach for a Chips Ahoy. But in any case here, what I'm saying here is that taking the numbers that you're giving us here with the amount of money that they had to put down and the military can help you with a house, they're not going to pay the damn thing off. Taking the amount of money that they put on the line for that, and what they did was they took out – how many cars do they have? Because I have to be careful about this, y'all, because I don't want stories to start moving. How many cars do they have?
Four cars.
What's the oldest car that they have?
2001.
Okay.
Or 99, yeah. Yeah, 2009.
Okay. We just wanted to push them dates way back. Now, what's the newest car they got?
The year is
What is the newest car they have?
Audi A8.
An Audi A8. That's the top of the line Audi. For those of you who do not know, the Audi A8 is the top-of-the-line one. That's the one that white corporate executives drive. Your mama ain't no corporate executive, but she is driving a top-of-the-line Audi. I know my car.
No, my dad is.
Check it out. I don't give a damn which one of them it is. If he goes bankrupt, guess who's going to have to be wrapped up in that too? Now, you said that your dad makes less than your mom.
Yes.
Now, you're setting yourself up now. You said that your dad makes less than your mom. That was what you said.
Yes,
according
sir.
To you, your dad only makes $80,000 a year. Everybody, I want you to go look up the Audi A8, and I want you to go look up how much the Audi A8 costs.
Mm-hmm.
Go look that car up. Because understand something, Robert Reich did a documentary called Inequality for All and talked to a multi-million, damn near billionaire, white male. And this guy was talking about, I drive an Audi A8. It's top of the line. This is a white corporate executive who drives that car. And your dad makes less money per year than that car is worth. Because taking a look at Car Connection right now, that car is between $92,000 to $96,000.
That's what they pay.
Okay. But your daddy makes $80,000 a year.
Almost, yeah.
Makes less than $80,000 a year. So what you mean is your dad doesn't even make what the car is worth. But he got one because he saw the white males, and he just wanted to feel good for just a little bit. Now, on a $100,000, this car costs more money than he makes. More money than he makes in a year. And I'm pretty sure your dad got bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
it costs more than he makes. Now, did he buy the car new or used?
It was that special case where it was only used one time by a rich person company. Like that kind of case.
Program car. It's a program car. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But as you said, your dad paid top of the line prices for a used car. Tells me the type of business acumen that he's bringing to the table.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much the when they bought it. I know about how much they, paid for it. I'm not sure how much the car that they bought. It's a really nice one. I mean, it has the top of the line, a lot of the nice stuff. So I think it was priced over $100,000. I think they got a few thousand off. I'm not saying that it's a big difference or anything, but
what I'm saying is that you lob that just that one car in. That's a car for corporate executives. That's not a car for a guy making 80 grand a year. That's a car for a guy making 800,000 a year.
But see, that's their garage car. They don't drive that car,
Okay,
and
but when they
got to
pay for it, whether they drive it or not, so what's your point? They got to pay for it regardless. Is there a dealership that says, okay, you can get this car, but we charge you way less because you won't actually be driving it? Oh, you're just going to put it in your garage? Okay, you can pay us $100 a month because you don't drive it very much. Tell me
point.
You just said. Tell me what you meant in what you just said. Tell me. What was the point of saying what you just said? Well, they don't drive it very much. It's in the garage. How does that change how much they owe for the car? Explain that to me.
I'm saying that they actually have other cars that they drive, and that's just one that
okay,
they keep.
Okay, but Gwen, asked you a question, and you just ignored it again. Your listening comprehension ain't doing so well right now. Explain to me how that changes what they owe on the car.
My comment wasn't meant to say that it changed anything. I was agreeing with you.
I was
saying that it's so bad that it's not even something that they drive, that they just pay money for it. And, so it's not even like my dad gets to enjoy it or drives it around. It's like they keep it in the garage, and it would almost be better if he could drive it.
But wait, it gets worse. What's the second newest car that they have?
The second one is a Jetta, but a couple years before that, they bought a XL, Denali XL, and that was about $60,000.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That was about 70, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, because they probably got it decked out on that, too. So far, they are trying to do their best LeBron James impression, a man who makes $20, $30 million a year, and they're trying to compete with him. You see, it's one thing for LeBron to have, in the case of your folks there, babe, we're already heading up towards $200,000 just in cars. Haven't even asked you about all of them yet. We're heading towards $200,000 in cars, and you haven't even named them all yet. And by the way, your mom and dad are only two people. They only got 2 feet. You can't drive but one car at a time. We got a damn near $1 million house and almost $250,000 in cars for two people who make $250,000. That is the very definition of overextended, because they're going to be paying high rates on this stuff. They'll have to, because there's no such thing as a cheap rate on an Audi A8. On a $100,000 car, there's no such thing as cheap. Nobody's going to spot them any money on that. Well, what is happening is your parents have been either taking out equity loans or refinancing. That's what's been happening. They've been either taking out equity or they've been refinancing.
I know they did refinance years ago. Yeah.
Yikes. Now, Gwen,
I know they did
what,
that.
What is the only reason that you refinance?
They refinanced to add to the home, and I guess I'm sure they did other things with it.
Gwen, I said, what is the only reason that people refinance their loan debts?
Well, I thought it was to reconsolidate or to get money, to get some liquid money or to get for money.
Now, does refinancing your loan change the amount of time you must pay on it? No, most often it's going to extend it. You refinance the loan to try to lower your payments. That's the only reason that you refinance anything. The lender is not going to let you knock off money off of what you owe him. You refinance so that you can lower your payments, not lower what you own. You do it because you need to lower your payments. If I owe my lender if I still owe him $70,000 on a house, I can't say I'm going to refinance and, okay, now I owe you $50. He's going to say, okay, you refinance. Now, instead of paying me $500 a month, you now pay me $300 a month. And we tack on an additional 3 to 5 years. But your monthly rate is lower now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said from the very beginning, I understand that these are your folks, but if you want to make sure you don't end up where they did, the first thing we have to do is, as Professor Truth said, we got to make some Wendy's double cheeseburgers out of some sacred cows. Starting with understanding that they ain't balling like that. They are, like most Negroes, hideously overextended. Hideously. That man has a car that costs what his house should be costing. That man has a car that costs what his house should. And he's got a house that costs what his business should be costing. But he doesn't have a business. He's got all his eggs in that basket. And that's why your mama said, oh, hell, we got to do something. Case in point, people, they done paid all this money on that Audi. It's only a few years old, which means they still owe the bulk of that $90-plus thousand on that Audi. Now, he's under that right now as it is. He's under that as it is, not to mention any other cars he owes on. But just between that house and that car, you're already at almost $1 million for just those two things. For people making that's 4 times their household income. and we haven't even gotten into their taxes yet. How much do people who make $250,000 a year get charged in taxes just on their income? So they ain't bringing home $240,000 in the first place. They're not bringing that home in the first place. But they got four times what they're bringing home. Even if we say they're bringing home $200,000, which they're not, but even if we let them bring home $200,000, they still owe four times that amount just on that one car and that one house by themselves. Alone, they owe four times their yearly income. Now, if you want, I can get Simone on the line, and she will tell you what that really works out to when somebody comes to her and says, I want a house that's worth four times my yearly income. If you'd like, I can get her on the line, and she'll explain it to you. She gets people every day who come into her office wanting to do just that. And what she says is, I can write you a loan for that, but you will never get out from under it. And your mama apparently has a little pragmatism because she's now trying to do something about it. And what I'm telling you is it's going to be a hell of an uphill fight at this point. Because what she should be doing is coming to her daughter and saying, I want you to come work for me. Now, that's what you should be hearing from your mom. But she's not doing that. And the reason that she's not doing that is because she does not want you to know how bad the situation really is. Because if you start working for her, you're going to start getting more information. People that she has to employ, they're not going to ask that. They're just going to ask, did I get paid? She brings you in, and you're going to be like, well, Mom, you don't have to pay me for that, but I want to see what the business is doing. And that's when you're going to have to get into her personal finances. And that's when you're going to find out what's really there.
Yeah, well, my mother, it's coming off the ground, and, you know, she's starting to do it now. And, you know, she has told me, because I'm not working right now, and she has told me I can come help, but I don't know anything about it, so I'm not sure how that would work, you know, and she's
well, I mean, why, okay, she asked to work, you go find out is all. You just go, and you just go find out. It's not rocket science. You go to your mom and say, hey, Mom, I'll work with you. That's no problem. All I do is babysit these kids. I'll come with you. Let's build something, Mom. Let's build something. Go and say that. And then go see. Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to do that? She builds a company. Tell her you'll get equity out the company. That's what the guy with GoPro just, Bartholomew just explained this in his previous call. You'll have equity in the company. Why not do that, Gwen? Why not? Why don't you want to find out?
Well, you've given me very good things to look for, and the reason that she's told me I can come and do some research and tell her how to search for contracts and things like that, and that's what she was telling me. But I'm just, I guess, so not interested in it. I guess we're both kind of, you know, I do think a lot of this is for her maybe more of a dream, like you said. I think she kind of thinks that she is maybe a little older, should have did it before and things like that. So I'm not sure how far off the ground, if at all, she is going to go. But, you know, you've given me some things to look at. I'm not sure how to run a business at all, especially anything to do with computers, you know. So I do go by what, you know, the thing she's telling me. I don't think she's invested too much money. She's invested a lot of time into it. But I'm not sure what she's doing.
What kind of programming are they going to be doing? If they're making video games, that's one thing.
No, working with government contracts, this is what she does now, but she just wants to, you know, run the show. And, you know, she's worked for
me. Let me know how that works out for her. But I'm going to tell you, they squandered your inheritance.
Yeah.
They squandered your inheritance. It's gone. That Audi A8, go take a look at it. Go sit in it. Bounce up and down in the seats. Play with the power seats and the heated seats and the air-conditioned seats. Play with those things. And then I want you to look around that car, and I want you to understand that was what happened to your inheritance. The money that you want to borrow from them to build your own business, your dad's driving it. Because, you see, he felt the best he could do for you was buy a car for himself. Like Homer Simpson buying a bowling ball as a present for his wife, knowing full damn well his wife does not bowl. Your dad spent your inheritance on a car for himself.
Well, Jason, that's when it clicked, and that's why I'm calling, because that's when I found out how much they pay a month for the Audi. Because my mom was telling me, we were going over finances and we were talking about you and what you were saying, and I asked her straight out how much, just like you said about ask your parents about shoes and things and pictures, I asked them straight up about the Audi, and I thought that they paid, from my research, I thought they paid about $800 a month, and I thought that was a lot. But when she told me, that's when I said, okay, you know, you guys are just, You need to be investing this in me and my brothers and your future grandchildren, because me and my brothers, we did not go out and have children. We do our best in school and we're doing what we've been told to do. And it's like, you know, when we found out, me and my brothers all found out about the Audi and just how much, that's when it clicked to us, you know, like, wow, we're struggling to pay to go to a class, or my husband for me to send me to a class, and you all pay double that. You could pay for two classes in a month. That's when it clicked to me, when they got that Audi. It took years, but when she told me how much they paid for it, and that's what brought me to this call, is that I don't know about my mom and her business and things, and I know you know about that, and I believe what you're saying is true, and maybe that's why it's not taken off the ground, or maybe that's why she's not putting as much into it as she should. But when I heard about the Audi, that is what, because I know that was a nice car, and it does have the airplane recliner seats in the back. It does have all that. I mean, it's decked out. It's nice.
Do you have Netflix? Do you have Netflix, Gwen?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go to Netflix, go under documentaries, and go look at Robert Reich's Inequality for All. And you'll know the part when you get there. First of all, everybody needs to see that documentary. It's very well done. Not as good as 7 a.m. is going to be, but everybody needs to see it. Because it lays out a lot of stuff about how you got here as well. Wait till they get to the white corporate executive. And even though he's speaking conciliatory, watch when he rolls up, and he makes no bones about it. I got the top of the line Audi. I drive an A8, a man who makes tens of millions a year. And I'm listening to you telling me about your dad who makes less than a tenth of what that guy makes. And yet he's far less, actually. Hell, he's probably making 5% of what that guy makes. I need to go back and do exactly what the math was. Your dad don't make nowhere near what this man makes. That is Yahoo just did an article about this. They do articles about this. The Mercedes S-Class, that's for executives. The Audi A8, that's the top of the line Audi. The S-Class Mercedes, that's the top of the line Mercedes. The BMW 7 Series and 8 Series, that's the top of the line. Those are, and with the Lexus, the LS, uh-huh, is now a $100,000 car. That thing used to be $40,000 and $50,000. Toyota is selling that thing for $100,000 now. That is their flagship. That is the top of the line. That's what you compete with P. Diddy and Jay-Z with. And you're telling me that your dad is telling himself at 80 grand a year that he's rolling with P. Diddy. He's got delusions in his mind that he's rolling with P. Diddy and Jay-Z. And that is an insult to you.
It is an insult. It is, and that's how I feel. But what do you think about the fact that they keep it in the garage? What, you know, that really bothers me. I'd maybe be even less bothered if he kind of used it daily and just fronted on that end and just, you know. But, it just bothers me extra that they kind of garage keep it, like, as a special event. You know, like you said, show-off car. You know, go out to dinner in D.C. or go to the Kennedy Center. And that really bothers me because it's like it's not even necessary. It's not even a daily car. They have other daily cars, you know? And so it's just like you could have easily put, you know, it really does bother me, and that's how I feel, just exactly what you said. So that must be the way why I feel that way, because I'm seeing all this money go into other things, you know, remodeling things and doing that, and I guess people need to do that. But, and I mean, it's the same situation with my husband's parents. It's the exact same situation. Our families are very similar, and his mom's buying the dad boats and stuff and doing this and this, and, you know, but it comes down to the children, and it's like you got to fight for anything and everything. And my parents do give money, you know, a few hundred there or something for Christmas, and they do that. But I'm talking about I need them to invest in me and my brothers, you know, not just Merry Christmas or, you know, buy yourself some shoes or something like that.
No, they if it's not consumer goods, your folks can't wrap their brains around it. And your mom's trying to get smart. She's chosen to get smart too late in life. Your inheritance, that's why I made that thing with Dr. Claude Anderson. I made that clip for all of y'all to see. He's telling you, they focused on things that are non-inheritable. How much in value is that Audi A8 going to appreciate? Even if your dad gave it to you in 5 years, what will it be worth? What can you do with it? You got a car of your own.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do with that car? What can you do with any of them? Can you sell them for more than he paid for them? No. Hell, you can't sell that house for more than he paid for it.
Mm-mm.
Your inheritance is gone. Hell, since he bought that house, it's probably gone down in value, considering the subprime prices.
Yeah.
It's probably gone down in value. Yeah, it's worth less than he actually paid for.
It did. It is. And so is my in-laws' house. And they have to stay in their house. They can't even sell it. So that's what I was thinking when you said that about my parents' house. No, they didn't really tell me that. But I'm, you know, I can listen to what you're saying. And, well, if it's happening to my in-laws who are pretty similar, then, and Jason saying it, then I have to imagine that it is clearly a real, you know, possibility, because my, you know, my in-laws can't even move because they can't make anything, they can't get anything, and they ended up adding an attachment to their house. But what I'm seeing on both of our families is just not as much help for the children as I would have liked. You know, my husband had to go to the military. He's paying off his school loans, you know, and your parents are, at least they look like they're making good money. I mean, they're buying boats. Our parents are buying Audis and boats and having wine at dinner and stuff. So how are you paying your, you know, why are we paying everything? We're paying for everything. You know, we get gifts maybe, but it's just show-off gifts. Like you said, it's not a gift to help. It's a gift to say, I gave my kids something.
Don't ask where your inheritance is. Your inheritance is gone. Simple as that. Your inheritance, gone. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, what... it's very hard to listen to, but it's what I suspected I would hear, and that's why I called. And I do have a lot of things that I need to look at, and in my family, my husband's family, and I need to understand that this is what's going on, and how to keep ourselves out of situations like our parents are in, and even if my parents are in a better situation, even if they're in a good situation, it just makes it all the more worse that they're not helping, you know, so there's really no good way to look at it. So I am going to talk to my parents and see what's really going on so I can have a better clue of what me and my husband need to do to avoid the mistakes that our parents have made and are currently making. So I have a lot to think about. I wrote down a lot of things. And so,
if you have a heart-to-heart with them, you will find out that they are way over their heads. If you start adding it up, and if you can get them to be honest, you will find out. Now, understand, you and I didn't even go in-depth on things because you were like, they got a lot of nice things. We haven't even gotten into whether or not they finance them TVs and whatnot. Because as Simone pointed out, and she was absolutely correct, all these store cards that black folk love to have, those are the highest rates you can pay. And, yeah, they talk about their military discounts, but there's still a discount on the highest rate that you can pay. And I'm sure your mama loves a bunch of handbags and shoes, so she's got her store cards. Your daddy got his Audi A8, your mama got her shoes and handbags. We can go down the list. Doesn't matter what it is.
That's my grandma. That's not my mom. But it is in my family.
Man, you need to stop doing that.
Jason, please. I wish my mom dressed nicer. My mom is not doing all that. My dad does that. That's my dad.
Mom's going to have plenty of chance to go from riches to rags at the rate they're going. So you better hold on to your shoes. She may be needing them soon. If you can get them to be honest, they'll tell you about some other stuff that's out there, too. They got their store cards, and they may have some, I'm hoping they don't have any rent. I'm hoping they don't have any vacation property out there. Because if they do,
right now,
something that they pay for and are owning, Gwen, I said vacation property. I didn't say vacation trip.
No, they don't have any vacation property. But they don't. They don't have credit cards either. So it's, you know.
You don't know. You don't know that.
I've seen the accounts. I've seen everything.
Yeah, they're on vacation. Yeah, you've seen that. You know they have credit cards. You don't even know their tax situation. Like you said earlier, I don't know their tax situation, but you know that they don't have credit cards.
Yeah, I know.
Even though you do not talk to them about their financial situation, you know all this. Even though you don't even talk to them about it.
I do talk to them about financial situation.
Apparently
not
you
in
don't.
Not in depth.
You don't talk to them about it.
Well, they don't use credit cards, Jason. So neither do me and my husband or my brother. So
you're assuming.
That's not what they don't
Your
use credit cards.
Your parents are not shy about debt.
No.
Your parents ain't shy about it.
They're not.
If you can get them to be honest, they'll tell you about a bunch of boogeymen out there. But at this point in your life, I would just be finding out to make sure I'm not going to be liable for anything. And that's going to be about it. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Please do give us a call here again. Mona Lachey, some folks have a hard time accepting that their inheritance is gone. And I can understand wanting to defend your parents, but we need to stop elevating parents who didn't do anything for you into mythic godlike figures.
Absolutely. I'm discombobulated right now. My train of thought is gone. But as I was listening to you talk about that Audi 8, it's in the garage because the maintenance on the car. How much does it cost for a tune-up? And then we as black people, when somebody says that they make $100,000, we ooh and ah. And they forgot to mention what their actual net pay is.
Well, wait a minute now. Just about that. I'll let you finish here in just a moment. Just about that Audi A8. Now, you have to understand that's a $100,000 car. A lot of insurance companies will not insure a car that valuable. For those of you who don't know, like every time you see one of these rappers with a Lamborghini, he can't go down to Direct General or Progressive and get a policy. The car is too expensive. It costs too much. You can't go down there and get one. I'm not going to tell you all from personal experience, but I'll just tell you that you have to go through like a reinsurer. They call them reinsurers, like the same companies that write insurance policies for jetliners and boats. Well, you got to go one of them, like Lloyd's of London or American General. You got to go to one of those companies to get insurance on a car that expensive. You can't just go down to State Farm and get a policy for a Lamborghini or a Bugatti. It don't work that way. It costs too much. Now, even if you could get a policy for an A8, I don't care who you are, with the amount of horsepower that car has got and with the value of that car, and it's got all the bells and whistles, Mona, Can you imagine what kind of policy they got to have written on just the car?
I can't imagine. And I don't know what that is, but I just know on a business, you have to have a $1 million life insurance policy. And the business is not even worth that much. So I can't imagine that it wouldn't at least be a $1 million.
Well, I mean, as far as your monthly payments, as far as the monthly insurance payments on that thing, that's going to be tremendous for a car that is worth $100,000. Oh, wait a minute. They got four cars. Yikes.
Yes.
They are in one of the highest tax brackets. They're in that over $200,000 tax bracket. They're in that top 10% tax bracket. That's not a joke. And then she wonders where her inheritance is, Mona. Now, you got more experience at that than a lot of people do. At some point, they have to understand it's not disrespectful to be asking questions, especially these questions. Because if your parents aren't passing anything on to you, then what did you need parents for?
And even, you know, our parents, if they do pass something on to us, it's debt. If they did pass the house on to them, could they afford it? So that's how we lose out on our inheritance that way. And like I said, we think $100,000 as black people is a lot of money, and that's why we play it safe. Other people, I would say this, we are gamblers, and those other people are risk takers. And in gambling, you know you're going to lose. In taking a risk, you're trying to gain something. And we are taught, I thought I was taught by my parents, you play it safe. They don't take a little bit of money and take it over here and see what they can do. You know, they don't have anything to lose. That's why we never gain anything. We play it safe. And because we play it safe and we think $100,000 is all we can get, we don't have anything. And like you said, once we put all those trinkets on top of it, we're deeply in debt. We can't drive that car. We can't go anywhere. We can't do anything. And it all looks good, but it's not good. And then I want to speak on when you were talking earlier about when a woman asks a man, what did you have built for me? I don't even think women know to ask that question. When you ask a woman or a female what she likes in a man, I want him to make me laugh. I don't hear women say, I want a man that's going to build me a legacy. I want a man that's going to make me and my children be respected in the community. I want a man that has a good saving ethic so that we have something, so that when we retire, that's what we really, really can do, like white people do. Not that at 65, I got to go look for a job. And the males, they're just trying to get, they're entertainers, getting notches on their belt, sexual notches. Who got the baddest woman? Who got the one to give them the best sex? They're not saying, I'm trying to build something, and hey, this is what I'm trying to do, woman. Are you going to help me with this? Can you help me with this? This is what I need you to do. And we're just out here like Professor Black said, you know, being entertainers and being entertained. If you tell a man, man, you can't do this all your life. What are you building for the future? They don't have an answer to that. And I'm saying this as a 54-year-old woman. You can't do this for the rest of your life. You think you have time, you don't have time. I'm looking for somebody to build something with. They don't understand that concept. They want to be the flossiest, all these little materialistic things, like you said, they're not assets. They're liabilities. As soon as you drive that car off the lot, it depreciates. As soon as you buy that house, the market changes. Your house is not worth it. So she can't move out of her house because it's not even worth what you put in it. And we just keep on having this perpetual circle of debt. And it looks good. And that's all we care about is what looks good. We can't even go into a vacation because we got to save for a whole year.
Well, about the house, though, you got a house that's $750,000. Even if it has retained its value, which it hasn't, but even if it did, do you understand that you're asking your kids to pay $20,000, $30,000 on that house? And they're not in the same financial situation that you were in. How can they even keep the house, even if you handed it down? How can they even keep the house?
That's what I'm saying. If you're fortunate to get a $750,000 house, why are your children even paying rent? Why aren't they there building their savings account? We put our kids out to make the right white people rich. As soon as they get 18, you got to get the hell up out of here. We put our kids out here to suffer and struggle and try to accomplish something that we haven't even accomplished as older people. And that's what makes them lean to doing, you know, illegal things. Because I don't want to go back home to my mother or father and look like I couldn't make it. So I'm going to hit a lick over here, or I'm going to do something strange for some change over here, or I'm going to sell my body for something over here because I need my life paid. Because we don't want to, we want to feel like we're grown, and we're not. And like Bartholomew saying about it, you know, I'm showing my grandfather, I'm trying to do something different. They don't know what to say about that, Jason, because they didn't even think that way. Our parents taught us to think safe. And safe has gotten us nowhere. And you're correct. If you're 54 years old trying to reevaluate your life, you did something wrong. And you doing something over here wrong as a male, and I'm doing something wrong over here as a female, and we never getting together. Our race is just in a catastrophe. But we got those new Jordans, and I got that new Louis Vuitton purse. I look good, girl. I turned up this weekend. I got my $400 weave, but I have a dime in the bank. I can't add a penny to the dime.
We have a whole epidemic of costume prosperity going on. Everybody wants to get dressed up as if they're okay. Nobody wants to actually be okay. Damn sure ain't concerned with kids being okay. Everybody exactly. Just wants to dress up okay. Nobody actually wants to finally be all right. Long as they can get that little spike in attention. Even if it's attention they don't even deserve, I'll take it. You know, if you're doing okay and your kids aren't doing okay because you didn't build or plan nothing for them, you're not supposed to be happy about that, Mona. You're supposed to be ashamed of that. If you're doing all right and your kids are working hard as they can and they're out here struggling, you're supposed to be ashamed. You want to complain about all these rich folk and how the fuck they companies, they don't pay us and stuff, but not, okay, but your kids are struggling. And you brought them in the world. You asked to work for that company. Your kids didn't ask to be here. And they're struggling because you didn't build nothing or leave nothing for your kids. And they're out here struggling. You are supposed to be humiliated and ashamed of yourself.
You're absolutely correct. And I think about, you know, my mother and father got divorced when I was 16 years old. And right before my father passed, he said, you know, it was so much more that he wanted to do and so many more places that he wanted to take us. And he wanted us to live in Anaheim and opposed to Compton, which was a, you know, affluent neighborhood. And he sat back and he reflected on his life and said, do you know how much further you guys would have been? Do you know what I was trying to plan to do for you? But they weren't on the same page. My mother was a party person. He worked two jobs. He took us from Compton to Carson, and he was trying to elevate year after year after year. But he had resistance from his wife, who was my mother. So before he passed, he said, I could have done so much more for you guys. But out of spite, because your mother broke up my family, I didn't. And I apologize. But here's the thing. The apology was a beautiful thing, but your children suffered behind that. And I blame you and I blame Mama that you guys weren't adult enough to see that you brought, like you said, you brought these babies into this world. And it's a miracle that we even made it to be anything. Whether we are lesser than or more than, it's a miracle that we have become anything, that I am here and still here standing at 54 years old. Because I've basically been out here on my damn own. And at the end of the day, if you don't have your mom and your daddy to go to, who do you trust? Nobody. Because if your parents will do you wrong and your parents won't stand by you and your parents don't elevate you to the next level, you don't have anybody. Anybody can bamboozle you. Anybody can sound like family to you. Because you have no boundary or nothing that states what my family did for me to know the difference. And we're just out here letting life pass us by. And we're just out here just partying and turning up and hanging out and using each other and damaging each other. Then we want to look for a good man or a good woman. You didn't damage everybody. And it's not just men, it's women too. Stop playing the games. Stop playing the games. Stop being safe. Want something for yourself. They don't know it. They don't know that word, those words. They don't know that vernacular. I don't even know if that's the right word because now I'm emotional. They don't know that language. Nobody taught them that. And that concept is so hard for them to reach because they don't even know step one to get there. Well, these white people and these Asian people and these Korean people, they step out on that ledge. They look up, let me see if I can make it. Let me put my foot over that cliff and let me see if I can edge my way down from this cliff. We'll be on that cliff dead. We don't take a chance with ourselves and we don't take a chance with our people. And we for sure don't give nothing to our children. We send them out there to see what you can do. Let me see what you can do because I couldn't do nothing. I hope you have better luck than me. But they don't say it like that. They tell you to go out there and get a job. They tell you to go out there and go to school. And like you say, we in the negative when we walk out the door. And we feel so low about ourselves. What makes us feel good is that we got on a new outfit or we got on a new pair of shoes or I'm driving a car that I can't afford. I don't got no gas money. I don't have no insurance on the car. The cops pull me over, they're going to tow it. My car note is 3 months late, but I look good. I'm about to get evicted out of my house, but it looks good. James Brown wrote a song, Talking Loud and Saying Nothing. Talking loud and doing nothing, that's what we do. And we continue to do it, and we pass it on to our generations. And you could talk to some person, I don't care if it's male or female, and you could be like, what you up to? Oh, yeah, I'm doing this and that and that, and they fast talking and everything. You see that butt a year later, they still fast talking. And it sounds good, and we got to stop that. We have to hold ourselves accountable and our people accountable and the men and women that we want in our lives accountable. And I was thinking about the concept of a hard man. And most women, they think hard is that big chest out talking crazy. He don't got nothing. He bull crapping his way through life. And they think that's a hard man. They don't like that man that will call you on your stuff as a woman. That will try to make you better as a woman. Now, that man can be frustrating because he wants you at a higher level because he's going to be on a higher level. And if you are going to represent him, you are going to represent him at that highest level. And if you never came in contact with that type of man, you're like, forget this. I'm out of here. I'd rather go over here and be with Pookie because he don't have no expectations for himself, so he sure is not going to have enough for me. And he at the bottom, and he going to keep me at the bottom, and I'll take that because this brother over here, he want too much. He want me to look good, smell good, act good, talk good, walk good at all times. And I don't know how to handle that. And although I say that out of my mouth, that's what I want, that take too much work when I could be over here and be ratchet. And every once in a while, he may go upside my head. Or every once in a while, he might need my money because he don't have no money. Or I accept that he can't keep a job. But that's the hard man that you gravitate to because you don't know anything about this one on this side. And I'm sorry. I'm just, woo. I'm sorry, Jada.
Nothing to be sorry about.
I am just so embarrassed about my people. I really am. I watched a video last night of three old grandmas. And they could have been like 80 years old. They were doing a twerk. This one lady could hardly stand up. They're twerking booties out to the camera. And I don't know who was filming this. It's just ridiculous out here. And we think that shit is cute. I'm sorry. We think it's funny. That's a representation of you. That's your people. That's what people are seeing, and they thinking that's you too. And it's not okay. Get your money, put it in a bank, try to do you. We won't talk stocks and bonds and investments and divide your money in third. And, you know, this is your safe money right here. This is the money you put in a medium risk kind of account. This is your high risk. We don't know that language. We're scared to death to do that. As soon as we get $200, $300 in our pocket, we tight-fisted with our money. And we don't have anything for anybody else that even has a dream. And even if you say, oh, that's a good idea, Jason, good luck with that. Nobody is asking you, can I help? We don't do that as black people. Good luck. I'm going to pray for you. And then when you walk off, he ain't going to do that. That ain't going to work.
But well, then when they see you do something. You're talking about business. We're talking about business. We're talking about income. We're talking about financial investment. And you're talking about you going to pray for me. I'm talking about physical actions. And you're talking about some intangible methods not going to have any bearing on what I'm doing.
What exactly. You said,
when you said it very brilliantly, that when you're talking about dealing with a problem and somebody comes at you with some intangible spiritual stuff, what they're really telling you is, I can't help you.
Yes. I can't help you or I won't help you. Because really, in actuality, that was a brilliant idea and I didn't think of it. And I don't want you to be successful.
Yeah. In our case, though, with our people, it's usually both. It's I can't help you. But even if I did have the means, I probably wouldn't. Because I got an Audi A8 that I could be getting instead. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this over here. I put up a story earlier today. In case you all didn't know, Eminem, fresh out of rehab, he's got an album out, and he's off doing a tour in London. Well, when he was in Wembley, I think it was last night, guess who he brings out on the stage as his guest last night? Dr. Dre.
Yeah, okay.
So it's Eminem's concert, and guess who gets to be a guest at Eminem's concert? The guy who put him on.
Yeah.
Now the servant is the master. And we as black people, we're fine with that. Because it's not going to be valuable to us if a white person does not validate it for us. It's not valuable. Our kids and how they're struggling, that don't mean nothing. But black people will kill themselves in the middle of the streets working to make sure that a white person has something. Now that they will do. They will not let their white friends or white employer go without. The children, damn them. But you think you're going to get respect and rewards from TBA? Just because you're old? I don't have any more respect for an old nothing than I do for a new nothing. They're both nothing.
Yeah, and then as far as retirement, I think my father was still in the $50,000 a year bracket. So he said, I have to put up $500 every 2 weeks just to make my taxes. Now, he sold his house, and he went to a retirement place, and the house, you know, was $230. But still, he still had to save to be retired. And the other money that he had, he took and went on vacation somewhere. But he had, you need to do this and you need to do that. How can I do it? I don't have any money. and you'll show me a bank account with $80,000, $90,000 in it. And I'm struggling. You just have words of advice. I'm not that stupid. If I could put it into play, don't you think I would have done it already?
But isn't that amazing, Mona? That black people are the only folk always, as soon as Negroes got two pennies to rub together, they ain't got three, but they got two. As soon as they do that, they want to, quote, go on vacation. Vacation is supposed to be a reward for a job well done, that you're taking time off from what you've built and you've accomplished. What the hell are we building and accomplishing that justifies all these damn vacations we're taking?
And I think about what Bob Bartholomew said when people ask him, what is he doing this weekend? And he said, I read and I do this. They can't fail. They don't know what that means. Oh, you're not partying, or you're not doing this, or you're not doing that. I don't have time. I don't have time to do that. They do it to me. What are you doing for the holiday? I don't celebrate holidays. It's nothing to celebrate. They look at you like you're an alien. So I could identify when he said that. You're the odd man out or the odd woman out, because you don't have time for that. We've been entertaining ourselves for too long, and it's gotten us nowhere. We can't even see that. But everybody else is doing it, and we don't know how to step out of that crowd and stand alone by ourselves to acquire power, wealth, and influence. That doesn't matter. Nobody else is doing it. Everybody else seems to be all right. I'm going to be all right, too. Get in where you fit in. $100,000 a year is nothing to people that make millions and billions, and they're trying to make more and more and more, because the more they make and the more things that they acquire, they have to have a way of sustaining that and keeping that. And adding to that, and then having some money in the bank, and then investing in something. And just every day a new idea of how I can keep this going. It's nonstop. And for us, we get a couple of dollars, we're good.
I'll go even further than that. I don't care if you have $100 million. If your children are struggling and you got $100 million, that's nothing. That's worthless.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of testament is that to you? I'm going to bring another caller on the line here. Let me get caller from 817. You're on live with the Black Channel.
B1, Jason. B1, Mona. This is Kane from Dallas, Texas again. I called in last night.
What's on your mind, brother?
Brother, y'all are touching on some real issues tonight. I wasn't going to bring this up. I could have mentioned, or should have mentioned, it last night, but I have an estranged relationship with my parents, and my wife and I, we took the kids over to my mom's and pop's house for the 4th of July weekend, against my better judgment, you know. But anyhow, I asked all the men there, I posed this question, that that is something that you always ask. What do you own? What do you control? And what do you have to pass on? And I guess they all took it as a threat, as is well, I'm sure they took it as a threat, and they felt like I was putting them down in a sense. Well, anyhow, the conversation turned to religion on that, the Hotep crap, and on Christianity.
Broke Negroes love, that is the fallback position for every broke, dusty, unambitious, unaccomplished. That's the excuse for every Negro. They go hiding behind religion like a child does behind their mama's skirt. That is just ridiculous at this point, that grown people are doing that, but it's all too common. Continue, brother.
The thing is, they never let me finish with the solution. I mean, I was literally drowned out. And I'm talking about 10 grown men coming at me. and they let me know. And let me be clear. I'm talking about ministers, so-called preachers, cons, out of the pen, 24 plus, whatever. But they actually let I seen it full frontal. It was envy, jealousy, and hate in my face. I kind of got in the sense of a rage. Me and my family, we ended up leaving. I say that to say this. There's nothing good in the mind of an individual that's using this crap as an excuse to get over and so-called waiting on the Lord for their blessings and gifts. And they showed me that. I'm gonna go back a little bit further and touch on my relationship with my parents. About 4 years ago, my mom and dad were on the verge of losing their house. I paid their house note up. As soon as I paid their house note up, they put it on the market and moved into a rental house. Do you know how small that made me feel? But this is an ongoing thing, an ongoing cycle. They look at me as if, oh, well, he has it. We made him who he is. They did not make me anything. I made myself as an individual who I am. I have spoken with them in front of my family about what they've done, what they did not do, and the ramifications of that that has affected my life. And now I'm the outcast. I wasn't supposed to say any of the things that I said. So therefore, I'm the outcast. You don't talk to your parents like that. I don't care how you feel. You know, I was listening to Gwen, and yeah, I chimed in on the chat. I didn't mean to hurt her feelings with anything I said, but I can relate to that. It's just that she isn't seeing it. I've seen it early in my life. It was either I complied with their rules, give me your check, and shut the heck up, or get out. I chose get out. So guess what? I left home at the age of 17. I stayed in school. I went to college, worked, and hustled however I could to make it. Now I'm the product of what I made myself by learning not to do what they did to me. But they want to claim all of the credit for who I am. And I am the eldest son. I look at my younger siblings, and, man, they are all jacked up. I have a brother right now. Boy, it is hot as hell outside. This dude, and mind you, he was one of the ones that was coming at me on the 4th of July. He's saying that he's going to take his Bible and start walking. So I'm looking at him like, Negro, why ain't you walking? And everybody's applauding this foolishness.
Where is he walking? Hopefully, you know, off a bridge. But, I mean, where is he walking to, might I ask?
I have no freaking idea.
So he just jumps up, I'm going to get my Bible and start walking? Nobody asked him where the destination was?
Brother, let me tell you. This is how foolish. Brother, let me tell you. I don't know where he's walking to, but I want to know when the hell is he going to start walking with his Bible. The thing is, I got him a job. I got him a job. He got divorced 2 years ago. I got him a job with this. I'm an electrician by trade. That's my trade. a glorified electrician because I got a degree in the field. But nonetheless, I got him a job doing audio, video, and security systems, learning a trade and skill for himself. And I'm talking about, dude, this is not no longer than 2 years ago. He's younger than me by 3 years, so heck, I think he was 34 at the time. This dude quit his job. He's living with my parents in their rental house right now, talking about he's going to get his Bible and he's going to start walking. And in my enragement on the 4th of July.
Go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm just going to say this and I'll end it. I just let him know face to face, dude, I helped you. I have paid their bills. And this is the repayment when I'm bringing another gift to you. And he's telling me he doesn't know what he's done wrong. There's no understanding this crazy, this madness, and it's an infestation. This is an infestation amongst our people. Either is booty popping, or it's Bible thumping. Everybody needs to take note of what I'm saying, and I hope everybody is really listening. Some people are beyond reach. So the best thing to do is to turn away and do your thing and leave all that bull crap alone. I digress, brother.
Brother, you need to understand something here, that we have a situation where with people, you will get yourself burned up. You will get yourself emptied out. You will get yourself burned out. You will get yourself depleted. And you will see your life come to a complete standstill trying to salvage Negroes who are trying to go along like they've always done. You will sit here and lose everything you got trying to use your wings to carry somebody else who refuses to use their own. Now, what I was going to say before is about your brother. Understand something. Your brother is running damn game on your parents, but it's the game they want to hear. That's the thing. I don't know if it qualifies as game if you want to hear it, but in my world is game. But in any case, he's running game because, you see, they're failures. So how he gets to avoid them actually asking, nigga, when you going to get up and do something? How he avoids that is telling them all this spiritual stuff. Because, you see, that is the excuse that flies in their world. So, by definition, they cannot say that there's anything wrong with his explanation. Because if they tell him that that explanation does not suffice for them, then you got them.
Exactly.
See how that works?
Yeah.
They can't sit up here and tell him that excuse don't fly, because you're going to sit there and say, oh, I'm so glad to hear that after all these years. Now, let's talk to y'all about this mess y'all do. Brother,
right.
I'm not going to bring that up. He can walk from here to Saigon with that Bible, and they're going to be just fine with it as long as it doesn't actually mean anything.
And if I can add something real quick, I also am the eldest child, and I can identify what you were saying, that you're the bad sheep of the family. And it seems that the child that want something more or tries to strive for some greatness, that's the child they don't pay any attention to. But the other siblings that are, you know, doing all the bad things, they cater to them. They pour out money to them, you know, time after time after time, and they don't do anything with it. And with you, it's like you're being an uppity child. And I'm the black sheep. I am the one, why do you always want to do this and why do you want to do that? But my siblings and my brothers, they don't do anything. They're the ones that get the down payments for the cars. They're the ones that, you know, get help going to school. They were the ones to always do things. I worked at McDonald's when I was 17 and made $3.65 an hour, and I had to pay my mother rent, $375 a month, plus my car note was $189.54. My insurance was $23, so this must be something, you know, that I have in my spirit because I can remember all this. And once she told me that I had to get out, and when she saw me acquiring little things and from mother to daughter, I would show, oh, Mom, look at these towels I got. And once she saw that I was getting some stuff, preparing to get out of her house, she put me out even earlier.
Mona,
and I had nowhere to fucking go. So I can identify for what you're saying. And here's the thing that I want to bring home. After you go through what happened to me and why did this happen to me and why did my parents do this, you know, I sing, I dance, I write. I have so many talents, but none of them were embellished by my parents. And I had to reach the conclusion that they only did what they knew how to do. And some parents are not even equipped to be parents. And that's how I began to go on with my life and not just stay in that one place and have a pity party with myself, because I would not be here today. And they do us a disservice when we try to achieve things. And to be told to get straight A's and B's, and you can go to any university that you want to, because I wanted to be a newscaster. They got divorced when I was 16, and they went their own separate ways. And there was a lot of spite. So let your new daddy send you to school. And you're like, what the hell did I do all this for? So that also can create a rebellious child. That also can create a child that just says, forget it then. I won't be anything. So then you have to dig deep into yourself to even go, you know, in the opposite direction when you've been betrayed by your parents.
Exactly. Exactly. I swear, when I listened to you talk, Mona, I was reliving that whole teenage experience. And I was listening. Hey, I just didn't hear you. I was listening to every word. And I'm telling you, I just can't believe it. I mean, it just lets me know I'm not alone. And this is definitely a trend amongst our people. This is a definite trend. And I was put out unequipped. A lot of things that I learned were from people that I didn't consider family at the time. And then again, my aunties and uncles that felt the same way that I did, that never said anything, that shunned me, now in this day and time, they sort of come around sometimes, and then they'll let me know that they've been in agreement the whole time. Well, why didn't you say anything? You stood there and let me. People just watched me get taken advantage of. Not only me, my sisters and brothers as well. And you know, I'm like, okay, you know, this ain't right. But then
your aunties and uncles, because now you're their role model and you're their mentor, and they're coming to you forever. What part of the game is that? And I don't even give you any advice, and you let me get tore up like this. You remain silent.
It's a vicious cycle. And it ended the day that I realized that I was on my own. I have a beautiful wife now. I have my children. And none of that crap. I would love for my children to have a relationship with their grandparents, but you know what? My grandparents are trying to act like my dang children. They want to be seen.
I don't like that. I don't know. I don't think that's a good thing to have your grandkids, have your kids sitting there watching, that they will have it in their mind that they want to grow up so they can become children again.
Exactly. And that is not going to happen.
The whole reason for growing up is so we can revert back to our childhood. That, what the hell?
I'm not having it, brother. I want what's best for me to reflect in them. Then I know my job has been done. I'm not on this holy roller stuff. Of course, yeah, I've checked my spirituality. I did that a long time ago. Yeah, that's in check. Now, what's next? Get my life in check. Oh, okay, I've done that to a point. Now I'm on the next level of building on that. But I'm the, he thinks he's all this and that. No, I don't. I didn't say it. Y'all said it. So it must be something that y'all seeing me that you're wishing for, but you just don't want to do the work.
And they will snatch your dreams away from you because of that envy. They will, and
hey,
you have to clear of that. You really
Mona,
do.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interject. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
The first time I announced my plans to the world was last night, and I guarantee you none of those dang jokers was listening to the broadcast last night. I can guarantee you that. I'm going to do it, and nothing is stopping me from achieving my goals.
Brother, understand something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that can happen is if they did not know what your plans are. Stop waiting for them to come home, brother. They ain't coming. And even if they did, they ain't going to bring nothing but trouble. You let them find out you starting up a business, them niggas going to be on your phone day and damn night with their hands out. You don't need all that. You don't even need to go through the trouble of telling them to buzz off. You don't even need to go through all that. Brother, you starting a business, that's it. The people who are with you are already on board. The people who ain't, it's time to cut the line. Raise anchor. We're out of here. Everybody who's on board, let's roll. Everybody who's not, stay in Gomorrah. Simple as that.
Indeed.
I don't give
Indeed.
A damn who it is. Your responsibility today in your life, man, is not to your damn parents. It's to them babies. That's your responsibility now. Your parents had their chance. And that's always going to be something that's going to bother you. But brother, you got to take care of these children now. I'm very sorry that your folks didn't get to take the trip with you, but man, that's just the way it's going to be. You got a cancer. We as black people have a cancer among our people. That civil rights generation caused a virus, a cancer, a sickening disease. And our job now is to cut out and remove that cancer. That's our job today, is make sure that cancer gets removed. Because if we fail, there's not going to be a black race. Them Negroes did everything they could to destroy us. White supremacy said, play the game, and they said, yes, a boss. And even when white supremacy said, okay, you ain't got to play the game no more, they said, that's okay, I like this game. Man, we can't play that mess with them no more. We can't do that. That is it. They had their chance. We can't keep sitting up here saying that if y'all keep messing around, bad things are going to happen, and then they never happen. At some point, brother, when we say that there are going to be consequences for your actions, damn it, there need to be some consequences. Otherwise, what we say don't mean nothing. If we're going to keep sitting up here and telling Negroes that you can talk crap about black women and still get respect among black women, our word don't mean nothing. Black first means nothing. If we allow hypocrites to sit up here in the middle of us and be talking for us and against us at the same time, they are working for us, not talking about working for us, but working against us the whole time. Brother, we our word means nothing if we allow that. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it is our responsibility, our obligation to remove this sickness. I would much rather you just get you a brand new cell phone number and remove your folks out the damn thing and just, man, when they pass on, somebody will tell you. Somebody will get a message to you. Somehow, I guess. And even if they don't, what the hell have you lost? I know, that just sounds terrible. You young black folk out there, y'all better wake the hell up, because Mona is 54 and this man is, what, you, 41, 43?
I'm 40.
40 years old. These ain't no spring chickens on this damn phone. So all you young folk out there in your 20s, you better be listening. You better be listening. Because you got the same situation going on, and you sitting up here listening to that cult mentality that your bastard baby-making parents gave you, and you're going to be sitting there 30 with your lip poked out when you understand this mess is real and them niggas was running game, and you went for it. I don't want to disrespect them. When you get in your 30s, you ain't going to have nothing but disrespect. But that's not going to help you in your 30s. You better wake up to this mess today, tonight, right now. You better understand what the hell is going on right this minute. And if your parents ain't done nothing for you, to hell with them. What do you need them for? We don't need Jesse Jackson. He ain't did nothing for us. The NAACP and CORE, Negroes are sitting up here defending the NAACP and saying we don't need hospitals and banks. The world is turned on its damn ear. They're cussing out businessmen and praising civil rights so-called leaders. They're praising Obama and cussing out business people. That's what you got going on. They're cussing out people who make money and praising Negroes ain't did nothing for them, but it sure be good sitting at their church, sitting at their rally. I want to be sitting next to Obama. Why? He's a star. Negro can't come within 3 miles of the White House. Cheering. You all need to understand that the dead weight, sometimes you're related to it. We're coming up on time here, but I'll let y'all have the last word. Brother, I'll let you have the last word on that.
I just want to say that everything was well received tonight. And anybody else in the situation that I've gone through or what Mona's gone through, hey, this is a wake-up call. This is the moment. This is the time of your realization. So you need to open your eyes and see the real world for what it is. Black first.
Mona?
I just want to say, you know, to all the young people out here, take heed to this message. Take heed to this Black Channel. The Black Channel is very valuable. And I know that you sit sometime and think, you know, these things that we're talking about, and you never had anywhere to go to express this. So you've been suppressing it, and you've been trying to, you know, like disown it or say, oh, no, that's not happening. But it is what's happening. Take care of your business. And don't let anybody stop you from taking care of your business, because at the end of the day, you really don't have anybody but yourself. Black first.
Professor Truth, I'll let you have the last word.
We got to protect this place, folks. Honestly and truly, when Jason took his hiatus, notice how nobody and nothing filled the void, and that should tell us volumes. We're going to have to make some tough choices as individuals and as group. We have to sever the failure of the past, and we have to stop trying to hold on to those failures, no matter how precious they may seem to be. Either you are going to understand that you're at war, or you're going to lose the war. Simple as that. Black first.
Brothers and sisters, understand that you've been fooled. You've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, taken advantage of. You've been told that you have to respect religions that haven't done anything for you. You've been told that you have to respect family structures as dictated by some bastard baby maker, that you have to take everything that walks in the door and tell me what you got to show for it. Other people sold out their souls. They have no standards of anything, no requirement of accomplishment. And that is the road to damnation. Daydreaming. It's up to you to decide you want something different. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.